And let's grab our Bibles, if you would. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This morning, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. Then Pastor will be preaching a message. This changes everything. This changes everything, taken from Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, Amen. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Father, we love you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this one day changed everything. Amen. Oh, Father, thank you for the empty grave. We thank you, Lord, that today we know that we can face the uncertain tomorrows because he lives. Father, we ask now that you would bless our pastor as he comes to preach the word of God. Anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to obey what the man of God would have for us this morning. Help us to rejoice to know that we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Bless our time now under the preaching of the word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. It's been good to be in the house of God this morning, hadn't it, church? It's been good to be in the house of God. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hey, we remembered. Wonderful. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You know, it's not about a bunny. It's not about eggs. It's not about dresses or hats or ties or fancy shoes. What we do on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is we celebrate the fact that the tomb which was borrowed for 3 days stands empty to this day.
Amen.
That he is risen as he said. Amen. I'm going to tell you, church, the good news of Easter is that this is not just an Easter thing. No, this alone, the fact that Jesus Christ rose again, this changes everything.
Amen.
You see, if Christ be not risen, then we have nothing to put our faith in. If Christ be not risen, we have no forgiveness to rejoice in. If Christ be not risen, we have no future to hope in. On the death, burial, and especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ hangs the crux of, well, everything. This morning, I want us for a few moments from the Word of God, as Pilate said, to behold the man. I want us for a few moments here from Matthew 28 to receive some good news. The good news that he is risen. And we're going to rejoice in it this morning, church. Amen? And we're going to celebrate. And I want us to refocus on it this morning and to refire our souls in it this morning. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything.
Amen.
Would you look with me at the scripture? We'll begin in Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did the keepers shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women," you ever wonder why the men became fearful and as dead men, but the women didn't seem to mind? It's because women are tougher than we are. "The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
Hey, church, I got good news this morning. That's simply this. He is risen. He's risen. That Jesus Christ physically, bodily, rose up from the grave. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus foretold his death, burial, and resurrection many times. We find one of them, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21, where the Bible says that Jesus began to show unto his disciples from that time how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. You see, Jesus foretold his coming death, burial, and resurrection. But as we see it unfold here, we find that many were actually witness to it. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and you look at verses 3 and following. Paul wrote, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." But notice what it says, "And that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren of once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." You see, Jesus Christ physically, bodily rose from the grave. He said it would happen. People saw it happen. People retold that it had happened. It's a well-documented fact of history that Jesus Christ arose. But you know, the craziest thing, from the very beginning, many have tried to discredit the fact that Jesus is risen. In fact, the religious leaders of that very day wasted no time concocting a story about why the tomb was empty. You look at Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 12. I want you to see what the religious leaders did. The Bible says, "And when they were assembled with the elders and they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if it come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." And notice, "So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day." And so you see, from the very beginning, folks have tried to discredit the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I remind you where the disciples were when all this was going down? They were hiding. They were hiding. Again, probably because women are tougher than men. But while the women were there at the tomb, the 11 were hiding in an upper room. They weren't sneaking around stealing a Bonnie. But since it happened, the religious leaders, and we'll just call them religious liars, have come up with theory after theory about what happened to Jesus' body. You know, some have suggested what's come to be called the swoon theory. That Jesus didn't really die on that cross. That he just kind of fell into a deep coma. And after 3 days, he awoke from his coma and was able to get out of the tomb and present himself to the followers. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I don't wake up good after a good night of sleep. My mornings are generally like, what happened? What happened? And I'm in no shape to do anything for a long time. Could you imagine being beaten, being crucified, being stabbed? No, I'll tell you, Jesus was dead. Jesus was dead. He had given up the ghost. He didn't swoon and go into some coma. I tell you, this was one of my favorites, and I just learned this one here recently. You know, they propose nowadays that perhaps Jesus had a twin. I read an article by a Harvard professor who suggested that Thomas was actually Jesus's twin. And the rest of the world just couldn't figure out why there weren't two of them anymore. You know, from the very beginning, religious leaders and religious liars have sought to discredit the fact that Jesus physically, bodily, rose from the dead. But they can't, because he did. And when you look at the scriptures, and when you look at the evidence, and when you look at history, there is only one conclusion that we can draw, and that is that Christ arose. That is, that he is alive. And church, this changes everything. Because you see, he is our hope. And hope lives even in this day and age, and it lives in his person. You see, the resurrection declares that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, look at this. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. By what, church? By the resurrection from the dead. Hope is alive. And hope lives in his person. God robed in flesh, come to seek and save that which was lost. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 8 that God commended, he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Church, this is how much God loves you. You look at an old rugged cross, you look at an empty tomb, and this is how much the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, loves you. I'm going to tell you, there are a whole lot of people who don't even begin to understand the love of God for them, but this is how much God loves you. You know, a lot of us look at our lives, and a lot of people who have not come to Christ, they look at their lives and say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the mistakes I have made. And I'm going to tell you, religion likes to look at our mistakes, and religion looks at our mistakes and kicks us right out the door. But while religion looks at what you have done and wants to boot you out the door, the resurrection looks at what you've done and says, this is why I came. Amen. To seek and to save that which was lost. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul could say that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And because he lives, you can be forgiven. Because he lives, you can be right with the Father. And no doubt on an Easter Sunday, here in the crowd, somebody in overflow, watching by way of Facebook, listening by way of radio, there is somebody here this morning, and you realize that you are not right with the Father, that you have never placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for you. I keep pointing to the cross like you can see it. I'll work on that, all right? But you're here this morning. And you know that you may have known it here, but you have never personally received forgiveness that Jesus offered. I want you to know, because he lives, you can be saved. You can be saved. You see, hope lives in his person for both here and the hereafter. The Bible says he is risen. And I'm going to tell you something about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares the death of death. I want you to let that sink in. It declares the death of death for all who know him. Jesus said in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, outside the tomb of one of his friends, Lazarus, he said unto her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is the death of death for all who know him. You see, if Jesus didn't rise again, then all who have died are gone forever. If Jesus didn't rise again, then we ourselves are doomed to extinction. And if this is all that there is, well, as Paul and many other philosophers related, if this is all that there is, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But this is not all that there is. Because Jesus Christ did rise in victory over death and the grave. And this changes everything. We'll tell you, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, death is defeated. Death is not the end. You may hear that a Christian died, but I'm going to tell you what, that is fake news to the fullest extent, because those in Christ never truly die. You know what I always do? I always, this season, take some time and I look back over my records of the many funerals that I have done of believers. And I stop and think, you know, Brother Art, I spent some time, Miss Kathy, thinking of Wava this week. She is alive. She is alive. I spent some time thinking about Corby. He's alive. He's alive. Brother Frank, spent some time thinking about your mama. She is alive. I've spent some time thinking about the Neislers and the Stocks and Brother Mike and the family. They're in glory. He is alive, church. He is alive. Randy and Ronette spent some time thinking about Sarah. Passed from life to life. From life to life. Thinking about Mrs. Tooley. Thinking about Brother Charles Hansen. You know, I'm going to tell you, the list seems long, doesn't it, church? The list seems long, doesn't it, church? But we sorrow not as those who have no hope. Because as we read the list, you know what it does to us? It ought to make heaven that much sweeter. Because he lives. Death has been put to death. And this changes everything. He is risen. And so shall we. This changes everything, church. He is risen. I want to go a little farther in Matthew 28. I want to jump over towards the end of the chapter, but you do realize that it's just kind of one story. It kind of flows through, right? So you go over towards the end of Matthew chapter 28, and I want us to pick up, if we could, in verse number 16. This is a little bit out, but we see here in Matthew 28, verse 16, that the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the risen Jesus, had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I got good news this morning, church. Not only is Jesus risen, but he is reigning. He is reigning. Jesus Christ reigns. He says here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see, Jesus didn't just rise physically, he rose powerfully. And in his resurrection, he expressly claimed all power, all authority, and this changes everything. You see, hope lives in his person. Hope lives in his power. I got good news this morning, church, because his resurrection power is the power, as he had the power to overcome death, it demonstrates that he has the power to overcome what has been defeating you. I'm going to tell you, if he can handle death, there is nothing in your life that he cannot handle. Now, his power, hear me now, is not just energy. Now, when we see the word power, and especially other places, like when we saw it in the Gospel of John a little bit earlier, it's the Greek word that we get the word dynamite from. And so when we hear dynamite, we're often tempted to think in boom, explosive terms, right? Okay, let's adjust our thinking a little bit. Because God doesn't need us to necessarily just boom on the scene. It's not just energy to whoo, it is an enablement to live right. It is an enablement to take each step as God wills us to live. It is the power, hear me, to function rightly. And we need that. You see, mankind has a tremendous history, do they not? They have mastered manpower. You look at some of the things that they built in the ancient world, whether they're the pyramids or whether they're the other great structures, and you realize they did that without power tools. I couldn't build a raised garden bed without power tools, okay? But they built massive structures because they harnessed manpower. As history went on, we began to master things like steam power and then coal and oil and natural gas. And we're working on this thing of nuclear power. And man has harnessed a whole lot of power. But the one thing we can't seem to harness is willpower. You with me this morning? We can harness a lot, but we can't seem to harness willpower. The power to just do what we know to do is right. Let me tell you something about the resurrected Jesus. Let me tell you something about the risen Lord, that he rose in power and he is reigning, and there is nothing that has come over you that he hasn't already overcome. And his resurrection power is the power to live in victory. It is something that we trust in. But hear me, church, his resurrection power is also something that we are transformed by. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And just like the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the death of death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the ultimate defeat of the devil. The devil may have bruised his heel on that cross, but Jesus Christ crushed his head when he got up out of the tomb. The resurrection declares the ultimate defeat of the devil. And here's the reality. If Jesus didn't rise again, then you can't do it. If Jesus didn't rise again, you can't do right. You can't overcome. You can't change. If Jesus didn't rise again, you'll never be clean. You'll never be sanctified. You'll never be justified before God. You'll never be glorified in heaven. If Jesus didn't rise again, then there is no answer for the hurting. There is no liberty for the bound. There is no help for the oppressed. In fact, I want you to see how Paul summed it up. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 17. Paul wrote, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He said, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But he did rise again. And he is reigning today. Jesus did rise in victory. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 10, that if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is expressly tied to our enablement to walk rightly. You know, that's why Paul could say in 1 Timothy 10 in verse number 13 that there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And I'm going to tell you today, I don't know what you faced and I don't know what you're facing, but there is hope because he lives. And I don't know what sin has you bound, and I don't know what sin stained your past, but there is hope because he lives. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how far you've walked away from God, there is help and there is redemption because he lives. This changes everything. Changes everything. And this is good news. This is good news. He is risen. He is reigning. I want you to see how this chapter ends. Verses 19 and 20, Jesus looks at these disciples after he has assured them that he has all power, that he has all authority. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Can you say this last part with me? Even unto the end of the world. Amen. He is risen. He is reigning. He is returning. He is returning. I'm going to tell you, Jesus rose physically, amen. Jesus rose powerfully, but Jesus didn't just rise physically and with power. Jesus rose with promise. I want to go back to the garden and what he told his disciples in John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. He looked at these men before his crucifixion and said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to tell you, that's a good word for us here in 2021. Let not your heart be troubled. But preacher, don't you know what's going on with COVID? Let not your heart be troubled. But preacher, don't you know what's going on within our government? Let not your heart be troubled. But preacher, don't you know what we have lost? Don't you understand what my family has been through, what we've lost? Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Look what he says here. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, Jesus rose physically, and Jesus rose powerfully, but he also rose with promise. You see, he got up from the grave because he was not done. Amen. There was still work to be done, still prophecies left to fulfill. I'm going to tell you, it leads me to only one natural and right conclusion, and that is simply this, that the same Jesus who got up out of that borrowed tomb is one day, and I believe one day very soon, coming again. Coming again. In Acts chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 9, look what, and when he had spoken, speaking of Jesus, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He is returning. He is coming again. That's why Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13 that we are looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote later in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 14, that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that, church? Hey, I'm telling you, it all matters. This changes everything. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I just want you to picture it this morning. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever. Just let it sit. So shall we ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, hope lives this morning in his person because he is risen. You see, hope lives this morning in his power because he is reigning. But hope also lives this morning in his promise because he is returning. And he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Almighty God. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Living Water. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Door. He is the Resurrection and the Life. He is who he says he is. And so he will do what he has said he will do. Jesus is coming again. I'm going to tell you what. You know what that tells me? That tells me for all who are in Christ, the best is yet to come. This is not as good as it gets. The best is yet to come. The Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And as I think on that thought, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes this life hurts. And sometimes this life stinks. And sometimes in this life, people leave. And sometimes in this life, we feel abandoned. And sometimes in this life, we get sick. And sometimes in this life, we get depressed. And sometimes in this life, we feel like we're not making a difference and it doesn't matter. And sometimes in this life, I want to give up. Sometimes I just want to give up. But then I remember that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And in that day, every tear will be wiped away. And in that day, every hope will be made sight. And this is my expectation, church, that Jesus is coming again. And this is my motivation, church, that Jesus is coming again. And this is my comfort and my consolation, church, that Jesus is coming again. And that's why we can keep going when we get tired. We can continue when we're distressed. We can minister when we feel minimized. We can suffer well for the glory of God. This is why we can live right no matter the cost, because Jesus is coming again. I can because he lives. And this changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything. You know, the human condition is perpetual dissatisfaction. It's perpetual dissatisfaction because we're made for more. You know, when God made man, we weren't made to die. When God made man, we weren't made to die. I'm going to tell you, that's why death feels so unnatural. That's why gravesides seem, the pain is so deep. That's why the sorrow of separation and grief hangs on like it does. Because we weren't made for death. We weren't made for separation. We weren't made for the destruction and the despair of sin. We weren't made for the bondage and the addiction and the helplessness and the hopelessness. But as the sons of Adam, it is what we have. But one Easter morn, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked out of his borrowed tomb. And this changes everything. Because now I'm not stuck being a son of Adam. I get to be a son of God.
Amen.
And this changes everything. I want you to notice one verse with me. This morning, one last verse, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9. These are the women after they had been talked to by the angels. The Bible says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I want to leave you with this thought this morning that Easter is not so much the celebration of an event, of a place, as it is the worship of a person. Consider with me a wedding anniversary. We have one coming up in the summertime, August in the middle. And we're in the teens, so I've got a couple months to figure out the rest. I'll tell you what we've never done. We've never come to August 15th and gotten together and said, yay, it's August 15th, wonderful, August 15th. I'm so happy for August 15th. What a wonderful day. No. We come to August 15th, and if we can sneak away from the kids for a little while, for me, it's all about her. Because it's not so much the event as it is the person. I'm telling you, as you go through Easter today, yes, Easter, 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 what a wonderful day, Resurrection Sunday. But don't miss the person. The Bible says when these ladies saw Jesus that they fell. Look what it says. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So I've been saying all sermon that this changes everything. Can I rephrase that here at the end? I want to rephrase it to Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. And this morning, as we consider him who died for our sins, he who rose to give us life, this morning, if you are here and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to tell you that there is a living Savior in heaven who, because you could not go to him, he came to you. Because the wages of your sin are death, he died that you might have his life. And he loves you so much. The Bible says he offers it as a free gift. Whosoever will may come. This morning, if you're here and you don't know where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, we would love nothing more on this day than to be able to take God's word and show you how you can know, how you can know that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. I tell you, for those of us who are here and know the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this changes everything. This changes everything. This changes everything. I'm going to tell you, this gives meaning to living right when nobody else understands. This gives purpose to dying to our flesh and dying to ourselves to live unto the Lord. This gives us the ability. Maybe this morning you've been away from God. You have been away from God. You know that you are not where you need to be with God. Because he lives. Because he lives.
you can come home. This changes everything. My question for you this morning is, how has God taken the fact that Jesus Christ rose again and spoken to you this morning?